to the Worship Artists South Africa podcast, where we have conversations about faith and music with South African artists.
Protect our nation. God bless South Africa.
The idea behind this podcast was to create a place where we can get to know South African artists and musicians. Because as much as we love the global church, and it's fantastic to be singing songs that are being sung all around the world, we also love the local church, and we want to find ways that we can express ourselves as Christians in this context as South Africans. And so today on the show we have Jason Ferreira, who is a worship leader, singer-songwriter and a producer, currently based in Pretoria. We had a good chat about all things worship, and so I hope you enjoy and are blessed by what we spoke about. I've got some exciting stuff coming up with some artists all over the place. So please subscribe and share this around and let's all get to know each other. But first, here's the chat that I had with Jason Ferreira. God bless you guys.
God bless South Africa. Lord, heal our land.
Well, welcome you guys, Thank you, both of you. It's really nice to have you here, Jason and Nadia.
Yes.
We were just saying, like, I don't quite know how we actually know each other.
Yeah, trying to figure it out.
It's a real modern day situation where we're Facebook friends, but we've never met.
Exactly. Well, that sounds pretty spot on these days.
I think that I just saw you somewhere as a musical guy and added you.
Thank you. I feel privileged, and hopefully we can get to some cool questions and answers.
Yeah, I hope so. Tell us who you are. And how do you fit into the worship Christian music scene?
My name's Jason Ferreira, and I'm currently leading worship at the Hartveld Arena in Pretoria. So it's, for those of you who don't know, but it's opposite the Voortrekker Monument. It's that big building that everyone goes, oh, is that the Hartveld Arena? So that, when you drive past there, we'll be singing on a Sunday, so you can pull in. And I actually just recently got married to the love of my life, to Nadia. We met each other 6 years ago, and we were friends for a long time. And then this last year we started to date, and it was very quick, and we knew what the Lord had planned, so that was awesome. And she said yes, that also helped. And and this year I've always been involved in worship somehow, you know, whether it be in high school leading the SCR bands or student representative bands or the Christian camps that we had on weekends. I'd always go lead that. And so from a young age, from about 14, I developed a passion to start leading worship. And since the age of 9, I actually started playing guitar, and that's where the passion started. And so, and then just developed over time to today where I can lead a band and just really worship. And that's my passion. And God has graced me along the way to make it something that I can hopefully make a career, if you can call it that, write songs and just like get to know people along the way. So,
Yeah, I've always thought it's the best time ever to be alive as a musician.
It is,
Because we can, there's the chance that we can actually make a living out of it. Whereas before it was only the top of the top of the top.
The guys who could
lucky break.
Yeah.
Who could really.
Now us average people can do it.
That came out kind of badly now that I'm thinking about it.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, there's so many opportunities now to share our music and to get our music
and
out
even
there.
Record it. So, you're sitting now in a home studio here in Boksburg, and it's you can see it's accessible and it's good quality.
Yeah.
And that's what excites me about the next couple of years in South Africa is to actually get down and start writing our own music.
Right, yes.
And put it out there. And so just to encourage guys out there, if you're writing and it maybe doesn't sound that good, I always think of it like a sewerage pipe that's like, I know it's descriptive, but you're pushing out this water and it's not nice, and then eventually it starts getting clearer and clearer and clearer. So just keep writing and putting your stuff out there. So
that's cool.
I don't always think of the sewage pipe, but
that's a good image. It's a gripping image.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did it start for you? You said 9 year old, you started playing a bit of guitar.
Yeah.
What sparked that? Was there like a band that you liked?
Yes, actually it was very descriptive. I was at a youth in Port Elizabeth, because that's where I grew up. Good old P. In Afrikaans, they say it's so friendly, there's selfs die wind waai vir jou. So even the wind waves at you, if that makes sense. But anyway, so we were at a youth on a Friday night, and I was 9 years old, and I was standing also at a Methodist church, and this one guy was leading worship on stage with an acoustic guitar. I'd never touched a guitar in my life, and there I was looking up, and it was like as if the Holy Spirit just gripped me that night. I didn't know what was going on, and I ran home to my parents explaining, and my mom was just in tears. It was awesome, and the Lord spoke to me that night and said that I'm going to be involved somehow in music, and from there it just became a passion. And continuing to high school and getting involved in the bands there, and we'd go on these big, you know, camps and outreaches, and always just any opportunity that I had to grab the guitar and lead people, I just loved it. And it was never a burden for me to see people singing to the Lord and encountering Him. Just brought me closer. It felt like that was where I needed to be.
Yeah.
And then in high school, when I was supposed to be studying, he's going to edit this out.
Maybe.
Yeah. At nights when I was studying for my matric finals, I used to listen to Hillsong. And I used to, after every single session, I would watch their DVD. It was like the coolest thing, you know. In 2003, I walked into Hillsong in London and I was like, I can't believe there's drums in a church. Okay. Like, is this even legal? I was looking through the pages, you know. Then it said, like, praise Him with your cymbals and everything. So I was like, it's legit.
Yes.
And in matric, I would watch the DVD every night, and then I had the opportunity to actually go over and study at Hillsong.
Okay.
So that was an interesting phase, and just learn more a bit about the logistics, about running worship teams. And because as spiritual as it is, and my wife will also know, is there's a practical side that you need to nail. You know, what we can probably elaborate that on that later in terms of, you know, pitching up on time and learning music. And so that practical is as important as the spiritual side for me.
Definitely.
I had the opportunity to go over to Hillsong and meet some of the, you know, like Joel Houston, got a chance to surf with him. That was awesome.
That's brilliant.
And just like, you know, I touched his robe. No, I'm just kidding. that was cool. And the speakers there were phenomenal. So that was a very pivotal point in my life. And God kind of saying, you know, He has opportunity to further that. And then coming back and being involved in Port Elizabeth in our youth in PE through Dr. Deo Church.
Okay, so not the Methodist Church anymore.
No. That was like the only night I went for.
Okay.
But no, I love them. I love all types of churches. So it's not denominational. It's just where my family was at that stage. And then I had like the spiritual family there, which was awesome. So it was really like the times where we would spend Friday, Saturday evenings in the church worshiping and just having a good time. And that was my base. And coming back serving in the youth, and then we started a youth group in Port Elizabeth, which was amazing times as well. We'd have these camps that we'd, you know, be on the beach in the day and playing volleyball and surfing and going down these like slippery slides, and at night we'd have these amphitheater worship evenings, which were called Cellar. And I don't know if anyone ever listens to this from PE. Oh man, I love those days, because we had 2,000-3,000 youth pitching up at these.
Oh wow.
And that was just incredible. And it was four of us that started it. So we were like, what have we created? What is going on here? Yeah. You know? And then again, God's favor on that. Mm. That was like 2010, 2011. We did a live recording at Doxa Day Church, where I started to write songs and actually put it out on an album.
Okay.
But we'll probably talk about that now as well.
Yeah.
And from there I moved up to Pretoria through the church as well, always kind of maintaining worship leading as my priority or what I love to do. So that scripture that says, you know, your gift will really make room for you is so truthful. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I want to say enough about me now. What about you, Luke?
No, that's not why we're here. So how did this Hillsong thing come about?
Cool. It was just a thing that sparked in my heart. When I used to watch the DVDs, I just really gripped. Their music was always so truthful, but so simple. And I just wanted to get more into that and more into, just find out more about songwriting. And it was a crazy story as well. My mother had worked for someone who ran a a couple of guest lodges in the area in PE, and they were pretty well off, and they just said, you know what, if you want to go there, we'll sponsor your air tickets. So that was phenomenal, because the year there itself is quite pricey.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how that sparked, and two of my friends went with for the year, and we just had an awesome time. Yeah,
sure.
Imparting and learning the practical side of it. So it's very much focused on the practical. I know, worship leading or church music can sometimes see as this, you know, spiritual thing, and it is obviously, but preparation for me is vital, and that's what I learned there, and that's
Yeah, I was listening to an Australian guy as well.
Oh, good. G'day, mate.
I think his name was Grant Nosworthy.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying in the workshops he does, he talks about the heart side of worship and the art side of worship.
Of course, yeah.
And how it's both. It's the spiritual, it's about the heart, but then it's also about taking pride in the art that you're giving and that you're making. It's about both. It's the practical and the spiritual.
If I look at probably the best representative of someone in the Bible is obviously David, who was extremely skilled at his craft, but also was so close to the Father's heart. And that needs to go hand in hand. It's so different to secular music, because music can easily become something that is manipulative. So you can easily manipulate the way, you know, that we sing or how much we sing. And I think it's such an honor to be able to do that and to usher people into worship. And you need to be, you need to know what your craft is about, and also at the same time, spend time with the Lord, spend it in His presence. But that's a side note. Anyway.
There's a book that I love, which is called it's called Worship on Heaven as It Is on Earth. No, Worship on Earth as It Is
as
in
it
Heaven.
As It Is in Heaven, it would be awesome if it was that.
It would be. It wouldn't make sense.
Wow.
But it's by Rory Noland, who was the worship guy at Willow Creek for a long time.
Okay.
And he puts a big emphasis on becoming a private worshiper.
Sure.
You know, how can you be worshiping in public with the family if you're not doing it by yourself?
If you're not doing it.
And so he talks about worship being discipline, a spiritual discipline in your own life.
Yes. And I sometimes feel that things can kind of fall apart on a Sunday service. So you've done all this preparation and everyone is keen and prepped, and then, you know, the drummer pitches up late or something. No thing is against any of the drummers, but we love them. And then you kind of feel like your whole service or your worship is reliant on one person, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
That's when I feel you need to go into the place saying, okay, Lord, the service is in your hands.
Yeah.
Let's lean on you. We've done the preparation. But we cannot break the chains. We can't set captives free. Only His Spirit can do that.
Yeah.
And when we get to that kind of mature place, then I think worship is so enjoyable. Because then you're not focusing on how many people are lifting their hands or, you know, why isn't this person singing loud enough? You're totally there and you're singing to the Lord alone, an audience of one. And that's such a peaceful place to be at. And I've learned that only pretty much in the last year. And I've been doing worship for like a good almost 15 years. So
yeah,
I think it's just how the Lord takes you through these paths of ultimately just throwing everything on Him and going, God, I actually can't do anything without you. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that you rediscover time and time again. You get it for a season, and then suddenly you realize that you aren't getting it anymore. And God sort of reveals it to you again
in a
new way.
And that's what's exciting, because it's all, I mean, the scripture in Revelation that says the angels enthrone Him, but every time they see something new. And I can't think of one service where I've gone, okay, that was exactly the same as the previous.
Yeah.
Because you see someone interacting with God and you go, that's new. And that's the love I have, and that's why I love doing what I do. So
awesome, man. So how did you get into the production side of things?
Oh, okay.
You work at a studio in Pretoria.
I do.
How did that come about?
That was a very interesting move. Also, actually, strangely enough, at like the age of 8 or 9, kind of your dad is your superhero. He still is my superhero. Yes. I love him. He's such a champion. Like, he gets so into talking about music, but he's not. He is pretty musical. Like, he plays guitar and he kind of taught me, but he's not like advanced.
All right.
And he used to take me to his work and I loved it. And he's into IT engineering. So he's like the Steve Jobs in South Africa. He like started when a PC was like, I don't know, man, the size of like a house. And so he would take me with, and there was a one instance where he recorded my vocal on those, like, I don't know if you remember, it's like an old, like a square gray block with a red button. I think you still get it.
A dictaphone.
A dictaphone, but it was on the PC.
Oh, on the PC.
Yeah, so it's like your standard recorder thing. I don't know what you call it. Yeah, you can do it probably now as well. And when he played it back, I was like, how is this even possible? I get goosebumps if I think about it. And from that moment, it was just like the art of recording was it came alive. And on holidays, I used to spend it with my cousins. And we'd also be in like a room like this. And we'd literally press like a track on those old tape decks and like record back and then play it again and record over it.
Oh, yes.
It was like super old school.
Oh, brilliant.
And but we were just to hear yourself was amazing. It's a stretch, but it was amazing then. And then I used to mess around in high school with like your Reason and your Cubase and everything. Mm-hmm. And my mom would come in, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning and go like, what is wrong with you? You're like sitting there in your eyes. So that's when I realized this is more than just like I loved it. It was a passion. And the coolest thing that I ever had, which I think sparked my kind of, okay, the Lord saying go for this, was in standard 9. I was like 16. I think you're 16, standard 9. We had a workshop to say you should go pick your careers. And you know, I remember my friends were suiting up there going like doctor or like engineer or like whatever. And I was like, I want to go to a studio. How cool would that be?
Yes.
And that's another thing. Like if you got this dream, just go for it. Like don't you know, look at other people or whatever. Mm. And ended up at the studio. Cornelius was the guy's name. Radio King Fisher in PE. You know, I'm giving the shout outs now.
Okay.
And recorded this jingle that Gareth Cliff on 5FM actually ended up playing. And he was like, really? He received this cool for phone calls. He had like this phone calls thing going.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it that it was playing on national, you know, radio. And from there, then just obviously getting into the programs, decided to study it. And we'd do like odd little recordings for radio stations and jingles. And then we did the album in 2011. And then after that, when I moved up to Pretoria, I got more serious about it. And I actually, can I just share another story?
Like, go for it.
It's so cool because when I think about it, it's so pivotal. And you might think it's like such a small thing, but it's pivotal. Mm. We had a gig. I was part of an Afrikaans band called Kaleidoscope. And the night we played at a little restaurant called Laughing Chefs. It's quite cool. Your food turns out funny. terrible joke. And so now we're there and I end up talking to this guy and he's like, hey, man, I've got this studio. And it's just like a white elephant, you know, just like standing there. Yeah. Come check it out. And I end up going to the studio and he's like, well, don't you want to do a couple of projects? And I just start doing these projects, like really small things. And the next minute, like I got like a bigger project, started working with Joshua Noriri and he's an Afrikaans artist. Yeah. And then I started working with like the local Kaleski guys and just producing little things here and there for the. And yeah, it was just amazing working and walking in these circles and going like, this can't be me. It couldn't have happened in such a short time. The Lord must have a plan in this.
Right.
And so further from there, just building up your kind of, and you'll know, you're in studio, you work, you build up your sound banks and you build up your gear. And today we've got a studio and I try to help artists who are kind of getting off the ground, who have really got talent and pushing them in a direction, and hopefully they're making a career out of it. And but this year, and I'm going to write it down, I want to do an album. I want to bring out a full album.
Okay.
I've got a couple of singles and that out, but this year I want to bring it out. And I think it's, like you said earlier, it's time that South Africans and worship leaders start doing it in South Africa. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay, yeah, I've got that down on my list of questions I was going to ask you, because I saw an interview you did with, I can't remember who, and you said, that's my dream. I want to do a solo album.
Yes, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Okay. And it will be worship. For a long time, was in two minds. Should I go, you know, to the secular scene and kind of go the route of, you know, you're releasing good-hearted music and it's bringing hope.
Yeah.
But I've just realized again this year that my passion is full on worship music and church music per se. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And my wife can vouch for that as well. I came home after a rehearsal one night and I was like, this is what I want to do. And she's like making the, okay, cool. Just do it. Go for it.
Yeah. So how, do you have any secular influences musically?
So I love Ed Sheeran. I think he's a phenomenal songwriter. Yeah. And so his style influences me. Coldplay as well, their sound I love. Okay. And I think sometimes like a lot of worship bands kind of sound like Coldplay now. Yeah, and
that's true.
Yeah, that's also an influence. So yeah, I think secular, I've got to go and think actually. There's a cool South African band which I love, and I think they are so fresh to South Africa's Beatenberg. Yes. I don't know if you know them as well, but I love them as well. And so yeah, whatever kind of comes up on my playlist. Now I'm pretty much an indie acoustic fan.
Right.
So like your indie ultimates, I love that.
Okay.
Ben Harper, that's a good one. I love him.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of like the playlist running when I have a gig or something that's going on in the background. But
okay.
Josh Pike is also a good one. It's all these like super acoustic guys.
Right.
Joshua Radin. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, him. And trying to think now. The Weepies, they're also cool.
The Weepies.
Yeah. You're going to go and listen to this recording and go like, I'm going on Apple Music tonight. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of the influences. But I think their message is always about love or about, it's good messages that I like. And that to me is important because God gives you the ability to write songs. And like, what is the message that you're putting out? Is it bringing hope or destruction? And those are basically the two options that are there. There's kind of never like an in-between. It's either love or it's not. And
that's true.
Anyways, that's very deep.
Okay, so you mentioned Hillsong just now.
Yeah.
Are you still listening to them? Are you doing So Will I at church?
Yes. Okay. I love it. What's the new kind of like old school church? What is that one? Crowns. Crowns is one of my favorite songs in theirs now. And Nardi's favorite one is, what is your favorite one again? It's also Reuben Morgan sings it. it's Calvary, isn't it? Calvary, yeah. So I love that style of worship from Hillsong. Mm. And I must say that's always gripped me from their music is their anthemic way of writing is because it's like I've never heard the song before, but I feel like I have heard this and I'm singing. And so those are the kind of songs that we're still doing. And when I was in youth, we used to, that's all we played was Hillsong United. That was like the go-to band. And I love the sound that they create as well. It's very like synthy, and so we'll use a lot of backtracks when we're doing worship on a Sunday with like click tracks and that.
Okay.
And that just makes it so much easier now. So we'll, I think it's called multi-tracks or something. We'd go on there and get the stuff, and mostly it's either Hillsong or Elevation Worship.
Okay.
Or what is that? Or like Bethel, we do as well. But I think as a culture, we also want to try and create a songwriting, a songwriting culture in our own church, which hopefully will happen this year, which you're going to keep me accountable for.
Sure, absolutely.
Because Luke's kind of started this podcast, and I just want to kind of honor you in that, man, and say thanks for making it happen.
Cool.
A lot of guys have the idea, and you're actually going forth. So yeah, I hope it's going to be super blessed.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so too.
And next time we'll have like t-shirts, like Luke
Powell's. Yeah, mugs. Mugs.
Yeah. Luke Powell's podcast.
Oh, man.
LPP.
No. Oh, yes. I wanted to ask you, again, it's something I saw that you just posted on Facebook about being baptized.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you had this thing about 10 years ago today. So tell us
about that.
Yeah,
can I share a funny story on that and then the serious?
Of course. Of course.
It's so cool. It happened on the 2nd of September, 2007. All right. So that was obviously 10 years back last year.
Yeah.
And what happened was we were like this on fire group, you know, we were like every night we were at the church and we were just like, can we move the chairs? Can we butter the bread or whatever? We're just finding something to do. And we decided as like a group of 15 people, we're going to get baptized. And I remember being like the last one going in because I was like, no, you go, you know, go. I'm enjoying my last moments of, no, I'm just kidding. And I remember getting into the bath and seeing the person that was going to baptize me and seeing the level of the water had dropped because everyone had got like baptized, you know? And I was like left with probably like half a foot to like a meter, not even, of water. So it felt like I was in like a bath. And the I think it was our youth pastor that obviously baptized me. And as I came up, there was like this strand of hair because I had long hair and it was like this dry piece that just stood like alfalfa, you know, that movie. And there was this antenna of hair and it was just like so funny. So I had to cut that hair off, you know, that was in my pond.
Of course, yes.
So no, I got baptized on the 2nd of September, 2017. And, but I grew up in a Christian home and I think that was always kind of part of our lives. But the actual, deciding factor was like made in that date. How my whole life kind of turned around was at a youth camp in 2004, which New Life. I don't know if you ever heard of New Song Festivals.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever heard about that.
No, but it does ring a bell. Massive
youth fests in Hartenbos, and we'd everyone around the country would get involved, and it was also like between 3,000 and 5,000 youth that would pitch up in, you know, camps and skate parks and different venues and of worship every night. So you could literally go to like a band wherever you chose. It was amazing. I'm excited about it. But so that's where I was standing on the beach and I said, Lord, I want to be serious about this walk with you. I don't want to play around. I don't want to play church. I want my whole life to represent who you are. And that's when he just kind of, that's where I feel that was like my spiritual baptism. And then the water baptism happened a year after that. My math is terrible. That only happened like after high school. Yeah, I actually don't know why it took so long. I apologize. I repent. Yo. But good. Yeah, so it happened a couple of years after that and yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, awesome. I'm trying to think of the date now because it's not 2007, so it happened 3 years. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's how it happened. So that was my experience and obviously, a lot of people have the view on, you know, when you get baptized, everything's going to be perfect. And you still have your ups and downs and you still have to repent daily about things that are not sorted out in your life. And God is constantly like purifying you in the fire. And that's a good thing. So the baptism is just obviously a public declaration of you following Christ. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's my answer in a nutshell.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the word worship? Because now it's been tossed about so much as worship, you know, worship equals music. So how does this play into the way you walk with God? Is it further than the music for you?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, there's an awesome scripture. I can't remember exactly the scripture now, but where he calls us to live or to worship in spirit and in truth. Noddy, you are the word master. What is it?
That's in John 4, I think.
John 4. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Cool. So that's pivotal for me because if your life is not, if you're not living truth in the week, on a Sunday, like you could be the best musician ever. And I'm not saying God can't use you, but it just feels that I need to be, you know, I need to be walking a truthful walk with God to usher people into worship.
Yeah.
So worship is not primarily a musical thing for me. The worship is the way that you treat your friends or you treat your wife or you deal with your for your finances. So it's all these factors holistically coming together. And there's a scripture as well that says, do not sing or don't come to the altar unless you've sorted out your issues with your brother.
Yes.
And that's also a pivotal part for me that your relationship with one another is conducted in such a way that it would be worship, that you would be representing a life of worship wherever you went, not just singing. But the other side of it is all about singing to me and all about worship to me. I don't think the Lord would have made me if there wasn't music. I don't know. I love music so much. But so to me, yes, worship is everything about music. And if I think of the worshiper David, he was walking around with his harp and he used to sing, you know, in a Speedo. He would sing in front of the Lord. And that's the way you worship because kind of, you know, when you're at a stadium and you want to celebrate, you start singing. You start singing an anthem and you start supporting your team. And that's who we worship. We worship the Lord. And when we sing about it, we celebrate who he is. But there's many factors. You can celebrate it in the way that you treat people, in the way that you work on a yes. day-to-day basis. So it's like taking all the small things
yeah.
as well. So I hope that kind of is a good
answer. No, I love that answer. That's exactly what it's about.
Mm.
I like to think that we're worship leaders in all our different contexts.
Exactly.
So we're worship leaders as musicians, but we're worship leaders as husbands and as friends, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
awesome. And in a practical way as well, worship leading. If you're not at the point where you can, I'm saying this now with a kind of, I've learned the hard way. It's directed at me, not at anyone, but. You need to be able to lead people into worship. I'm talking about congregationally now and singing.
Okay.
So if you're not knowing musically where you're going, like they're not going to follow.
Yeah.
That's the word, worship leading. And some people see that as quite a hectic burden. But I think if you just prepare well and you spend your time with the Lord, He will do the rest. He will do the work and it will become easy because His word says His burden is light. It's not something that's weighed in on you.
Yeah.
And really to, as worship leader, to take up that responsibility and not to, because sometimes we have this mentality to get to church on a Sunday and see what happens, kind of, like, does the spirit pitch up, you know, have you ever had that?
Yes.
And you're like, no, because Lord God has anointed you as the leader and it will work because God does, He's not a failure.
Yeah.
And He doesn't operate in fear or distrust. And so it's actually a massive honor to carry this responsibility.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think that you've got to always be praying that sort of humble recognition that what you're doing is such a big deal.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
You've got to enjoy it. You've got to love it and have a lot of fun. But there's always got to be that element of you saying, wow, this is crazy that God's called us to do this and know the seriousness of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it becomes so much fun once you've done all the kind of prep work. And so we try as a couple to spend Saturdays kind of just dedicated to the Lord and kind of, I'm not saying you have to do that, but what works for us is that works because you're in that headspace and you're concentrating on that. And also I feel the way that that you treat your fellow band members is also a vital key to to living a lifestyle of worship. Is these guys are serving week to week basis, you know, they're riding out to be there. How are you treating them? Are you loving them? Are you supporting? Are you praying for them? Are you uplifting? Are you creating worship leaders out of them?
Yeah.
Ultimately, there's quite a lot of responsibility on that as well. And So I mean, a lot of the times you can see someone as here comes Stephen, he's our bass player. Here comes the bass player. You don't see Stephen, you see a bass player.
Right.
And we got to move past that. We got to move past them just being musicians. They're children of God. And all of this that I'm saying is it makes it a lot lighter. If you see this person as a person, it's just, oh, this is so nice. And your worship team becomes so surrounded by godly relationships. And
So would you say the worship leader role is a kind of a pastoral role?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. You've been entrusted with a few sheep and you shepherd over them. And these people that come to you, maybe they haven't got the best abilities now, but you were also there. I was also there. And if someone didn't shepherd me and have patience with me, I have to think about all the worship leaders. I gave them so much grief. Eh? I was like the rebel one. But if they didn't have patience for me, then I probably wouldn't have pursued it. So I see it as like this. And my wife also says that there's like gold inside of everyone and it's your responsibility to bring that out. And it's actually exciting when you look at it that way. Mm. So treat your band members well. Buy them coffee, Starbucks, or Seattle.
Actually, it's our tradition to stop off at a Seattle before every gig.
Oh, yeah. You are there's a spiritual
around,
man.
There's one just around the corner and every morning when we leave, we all
you
meet
go there.
There.
Hey?
Yeah.
What's your favorite drink though?
Oh, I like the butterscotch latte. Yeah,
that's
the one I always go for.
That's the great one. I love the cafe mochaccino.
Right.
Oh
yes.
Man, I would like that is enough. You know, you could. Yeah.
So you guys, is your church the coffee before the service sort of place?
Actually, the venue itself is being developed quite drastically. Next year we they're revamping the whole venue, and they're going to build like a coffee shop in the front.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's actually quite exciting. And but at the moment we're doing the whole like bar on the way coffee thing. So after church we do the coffee thing. So we got like a slush puppy machine for the newcomers.
I'm just saying, they have to build their way up to coffee.
Yeah, and check Hartwell's going to be like super busy on Sunday because I said this now. And popcorn, and there's a coffee machine there, so we'll go there and greet the newcomers every Sunday, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's so easy. So okay. Yeah, that's when we have our coffee.
So you were involved in Mighty Men somehow last year, was it?
Yeah.
Or has it been throughout the years? Tell us about that.
I've always been to Mighty Men's conferences, and this is also another testimony. Yeah, so you're bringing out great memories. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that. What's that movie called? With all the emotions?
The Emoji Movie.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Yeah, so every time you bring a memory, it's like this golden ball that just lights up.
Yeah.
So I started to work in the studio with a well-known Afrikaans worship leader, Retief Burger. In English, it's Burger. And we just developed an awesome friendship. He sang, he led worship at our wedding now in December. And that was so anointed. He's just an amazing guy. Also be a cool guy to get on the show.
For sure, yeah.
And yeah, so basically we started to work. He asked me to produce a single for him, which is on his new album. It's called Sing. Sing in English. It's spelled the same. And so he asked me to come along and to kind of co-lead at Mighty, the official last Mighty Men Karoo one, because now they're splitting up. And we were there, and there were 50 to 60,000 men pitched up. And
sure.
What? And like, I got a glimpse of what it might be like at heaven, in heaven. You know? And at the far back, it was a mountain range that was just lit up with these massive lights. And there were people, you know, waving flags while we were worshiping. And literally, like, I get goosebumps now, but people riding in on white horses, like, in front of us. And we sang, you know, that song, obviously that amazing song, No Longer a Slave.
Yeah.
And like halfway through we just walked on stage, and he turned to me and he said, "You're leading the song." And I was like, "What? 50,000 people, 60,000 people."
Oh, wow.
And it was like God just saying that. And that again was like just a boost again, just going, this is amazing. Because it's not about, you know, leading so many or whatever, but it's almost like you got to, there's an opportunity for you to get out of the way on Sundays and just usher people into worship. And when you get that and you realize, you know, we are all singing to the Lord. It's such a beautiful place. I could stop singing. I would want to stop singing on a Sunday and just listen to the congregation. I'm sure you've had that.
Mm.
And that is so inspirational. And that hearing 50, 60,000 men do that was phenomenal. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
All right. So, so what have you got planned in the next couple of months? What are you up to?
Cool. So we're leaving on an aeroplane tomorrow morning. We're going to Port Elizabeth. My brother's getting married.
Cool.
And my wife is the maid of honor. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Bridesmaid. She's one of the bridesmaids. And it's going to be tough. She needs to like kind of not look more beautiful than the bride, you know? No, I'm just kidding. So no, and I'm the best man of my brother's wedding and MC. So I'm going to go prep a little. We're still going to prep tonight. We've got to go pack and get on the plane tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Oh man.
So we're there. And so that's coming up in the next, we're going to be there for a week. And I'm coming back. I'm just busy with a couple of albums. So Doe voor Dag is Afrikaans. Group that I'm working with, got that album and a couple of singles in the studio. And at the moment we're trying to get the worship team, we're just developing the worship team to take them to a new place. So we're developing worship leaders, and there's a worship conference coming up that we're organizing in Hartveld. I guess writing on the album would be a key. So that's the couple of stuff that's coming up. And I've got a band member that we do acoustic covers, but I'm not going to sales pitch that now. But we've got weddings and stuff that we're singing at.
Okay.
And another cool venture that's coming up is the hashtag Imagine Conference, which is quite a big youth conference happening this year. And I'm part of that worship team. And looking forward to that as well. And yeah, I think that's going to be an amazing time. So also if you're, in any youth or part of any youth, just check out for the adverts on Facebook or social media and please make your way out there. It's going to be phenomenal. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. And we run a roastery as well. We're part of a roastery, me and my wife. So we sell coffee and that's also exciting. Yeah. Her parents are in the Cape, so we're going to try and travel down there as well.
Okay.
They're on a wine farm there. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Sounds cool. Sounds like a good couple of weeks, months ahead.
Yeah. We've always had that kind of like dreams to not be involved in this systematic way, you know, work outside of the system and you know, just try and create a lifestyle where we can travel. And sometimes it's hard because, you know, you run your own business, but the Lord has been amazing. It's really, really been amazing. So also if you are at that place where you're like a deciding factor to step out, and you really feel God's urging to you to do that, it's just to trust Him and to know that He's already making this way for you.
Yeah.
But don't go quit your job at school now and say, I said so. Gonna get parents like phoning me. Why did you tell my kid?
That guy.
Yes, yeah,
that guy on
terrible.
The
trail.
Okay.
Cool, yeah.
All right, man. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Cool.
It was nice to actually meet.
Yeah.
Not just see a little picture on a screen.
Yeah, for sure. That's so yesterday. No, it's very cool.
But yeah.
And yeah, I hope the podcast does well and that really lives are changed. And for worship leaders out there as well, just an encouraging thing is you may be, at a place or where your team isn't exactly where you want them to be, but God has placed you there to take a step with these guys. And He's working in you just as much as He's working in other people. And just allow Him to do that work. And grace yourself as well in that, and make mistakes, and just sing and keep making mistakes and keep leading worship.
Yeah.
And eventually it gets, I guess, a bit easier. I guess we'll never know.
Very helpful. Cool. Thank you. Great words of wisdom. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks,
so Luke. Thanks for coming. And awesome. Yeah, God bless you guys as you go out from here and do what
awesome.
You do.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I really hope that you enjoyed and that you got something out of this chat that we had. And please join us for this journey. I'm going to be chatting to artists from all around the country every week. And so I hope that you'll tune in and let's all get to know each other. Let's be a community. And let's remember that we're all on the same side here. We're all doing this for the same reason, which is for Jesus to be known. And so to close, here's a song that Jason wrote and released a few years back. You can get it on iTunes. Please go and download it and support. And it's a great congregational track, so introduce it to your congregation. Let's support each other, and let's sing songs that are uniquely South African. God bless you guys, and I hope you tune in next week.
You're the place where I found rest, and all the love I need. Replace my brokenness, now I see what true love is. You're the place where I found rest, and all the love I need. Replace my brokenness, now I see what true love is. My Savior gave it all for me. My Savior gave it all for me. Where would I be without you? Where would I be without you? Place where I found peace, you're everything to me. The love that lights my way, now I see what true love is. My Savior gave it all for me. My Savior. Where would I
Savior gave it all for me. Where would I be without you? Where would I be without you? Without you.